going to begin talking about, it's going to hopefully take a few weeks, I want to address the social justice movement and the critical race theory. I don't know how many of you are up on all of that and everything that goes along with that. But the issue is that it is infiltrating our churches. The issue is that there are people who claim to love Jesus who have also embraced some of these ideas. And so I want to arm you, and I want to warn you, and I want to explain what's going on. So the first question here is, how are we divided? And I want you to think from God's perspective, how does God divide people into two classes? What are those two classes? Okay, sinners forgiven, saved, unsaved, name in the book of life, not in the book of life, right? That's how God divides people. And that's truth. And so Satan certainly has his copies. He also has his way of dividing people. And often it sounds good, but certainly it is false. So let me plug in my clicker here. So Marxism, you all remember reading about Karl Marx and your history and all that, and you probably all read the Communist Manifesto and all that good stuff, right? No, right? So Marx, the basic principle of everything that he taught and everything that he did, divided people into these two classes, the oppressor and the oppressed, into these two things. So that's the view that he had, and so everything that he did was based on along those lines. So he certainly divided people along economic lines. The oppressors are those that control the means of production, and the oppressed are those that are without economic privilege. And he didn't give any room to be in between. There's no in between. You are oppressing people or you are oppressed. One or the other. That's what he taught. That's what he based everything on. And so his solution then was to destroy classes, to destroy all authority, which certainly led then to socialism, which proclaimed that there's no class, there's no economic class, we are all the same. And redistributing everything, right? Taking everybody's wealth and dividing it up equally so we're all equal. And so he was saying that your value, your worth is based on your economic position. If we just make everybody equal, then life is good, right? That's what Karl Marx taught. So certainly then, what's the problem? Why doesn't it doesn't work, but why? Okay.
And there's always the greed.
There's always greed, right?
Some people want more for less. Some people work a lot harder for not
very much. Okay. Yeah. Right. There's people that are motivated to actually accomplish stuff, and there's people that aren't. So certainly the sin nature, because Karl Marx was an adamant atheist. He wanted nothing to do with God. Tried to eliminate God out of absolutely everything. Okay. What else?
It's like there's just natural leaders and followers. In Scripture, there's the good and the strong to help the weak and the poor. It's just a natural.
Right. There's the natural. I mean, there's people that are gifted in certain ways.
Yeah,
it's just the way it is.
We're different.
Yeah. We are different. Yeah.
You say compare it to capitalism. You take somebody that has nothing and they can, hard work, investment. Stuff they can
right.
Achieve different whatever that is they want to achieve, right? So, whereas a social, yeah, like you said, they want everyone to still level playing field.
Right, they want everybody except for a few, right? There always has to be leadership. There always has to be somebody in charge.
And of course, they're not going to, you know,
right?
Right,
yeah. So certainly ignores that God is the source of all authority, right? Ignores the sin nature, ignores truth. And the whole premise is completely false. Can we be divided in just oppressor and oppressed? Is that the way it works? No, it doesn't. It doesn't work that way. Just because someone has wealth does not mean they are oppressing people. Now, maybe they are, but whether you are oppressing someone has nothing to do with your wealth. Whether you're being oppressed has nothing to do with your wealth. So to try to divide that along economic lines is certainly from the very beginning, it's a false premise. But there's a lot of people that buy into this, especially in our culture and our society today, that are trying to divide people along these lines. So certainly this was... They tried to bring this into America, like over 100 years ago. So why didn't it work? I mean, some of the things that we already talked about, but there's one major reason that the classical Marx socialism didn't even come close to work. I mean, it just didn't even take root in America. I mean, there's a few people, but...
It's not biblical, like we're found on Judeo Christian.
Okay.
Beliefs and ethics and... hard work and personal responsibility.
Okay.
Freedom, I guess.
Right, freedom is a huge one. But think economically. What is it that makes America different than a lot of nations?
Well, we have capitalism.
Okay, we got capitalism, which creates what?
Well, it creates your desire.
Okay.
To produce more.
So, in America, do we have a larger... Do we have a huge... poor, I mean, would you say most people are poor, most people are rich, or most people are middle class?
More middle,
and that's the problem, right? That is the problem, is that America has a huge middle class, and so Marxism doesn't work, because it needs a huge poor class, and it needs a very wealthy class in order to work, in order to say, oh, these are the oppressors and these are the oppressed. Because the middle class doesn't feel oppressed, right? You need people that feel like they're being oppressed, and you can convince them of that. And so it didn't work in America because we have a very large middle class. And if I really wanted to work hard enough, like Dwight was saying, I could be rich. I could be filthy rich. Do I really want to spend my time doing that? Not really, right? I got other priorities. I got other things that are more important to me. So I don't want to spend my life doing that. But I could, right? If I just wanted to spend every waking moment trying to earn as much money as I could go do that. And I would probably be divorced and, you know, I mean, my life would probably be a mess. But, right, it's balanced. But I could do that. I mean, I have that opportunity. I have that freedom to pursue that if I really wanted to. And so I don't feel oppressed. And that's the problem with classical Marxism. Now, certainly... Marxism is the economic extension of evolution. So without the teaching of evolution, Marxism doesn't work. The whole philosophy has no bearing, no grounds. You have to have this religion, and I call evolution a religion because it really is. It tells us how we came to be. It tells us what we should worship. We should worship science. We should worship the creation rather than the creator. It denies the fact that there's a creator. So that's evolution, right? And so not having a God and having this science or having this religion that says there is no God, I mean, that's the base, right? That is the base for Marxism. That has to be there first. And so that's the economic. And then certainly socialism is in the political extension of that and implementation of Marxism and the thought of Marxism. And so, in my mind, evolution, Marxism, socialism, is certainly a satanic means of controlling the world. I mean, that's It's certainly, I believe, of Satan. It's certainly a means to try to control people, to restrict freedom. And we talk about democracy, we talk about capitalism, and those are means of freedom, right? Allowing people to be free, and that's not Satan's agenda. He has a means, he has a way of trying to control people. So capitalism, democracy, in a sense necessitate at least some kind of acknowledgement that there's a God in order to work. I think they do. I mean, that we're made in the image of God. Certainly that value. Democracy, I believe, is really built on that. The way we do democracy is certainly built on that thought that each person has value and is an individual and is free to make choices and decisions. And so that kind of necessitates a thought that we are made in the image of God. Certainly necessitates the thought of a sin nature. Right? Our whole government is built on the fact that we are sinners and can't be trusted with power. Right? That's democracy, or the way we have democracy. We don't have a true democracy. It's a republic. It's a democratic republic, I think, is the actual term for it. But it's, right, it's built with all these checks and balances. It's built with this thought that no one individual can be trusted with power. Right. And so there's these attempts to try to curb that power, because there's this thought that, yes, we believe in a sin nature. We recognize that our founding fathers recognized that they believed in God. They understood the sin nature. And so then also it promotes freedom and individual opportunity to, you know, choose how you want to live your life and that way. And so capitalism certainly goes along with that. Certainly, capitalism is based on the fact that people are greedy, right? I mean, that's what makes it work. is the fact that we all are out for our own interest and we want what we want. But in doing that, right? In doing that, we are benefiting other people, right? That is the result there in capitalism, is that in the fact that I'm going to do what's best for me, I am benefiting you, and so. That really is the basis of the economy and capitalism. So, but it necessitates a God. And so when you take God out of the picture, that changes things, right? If we don't acknowledge that there's a God, then that totally changes how these things work. So that brings us then to this thought of critical race theory. Now, there's a lot. I mean, this topic is very, very deep. I'm reading this book, Christianity and Wokeness, by Owen Strachan. So if you really want to dig into this, I recommend this book. He goes into a lot of details. I'm not going to try to explain everything. But certainly there's the critical theories that came out of Marxism. And now the critical race theory is an extension of that, and it applies this thought of the oppressed and the oppressor to race, to the color of your skin, basically, is what critical race theory is all about. It takes the Marxism, and instead of applying it to economics, which doesn't work, right? Doesn't work in America, because we have a huge middle class. But what is it that we do have? We have a lot of people from a lot of different places that have come to this nation. We have a history. You know, there are some things in our history of slavery. And so there is certainly a huge black population, you know, darker skin population in our nation. And so there is now a division that can be created along that line. And so critical race theory defines the white people as the oppressor and the black people as the being oppressed. So it just categorizes people. Whether you are or not doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter. But it's trying to create this feeling that you, like, if you have black skin or dark skin, that you are oppressed, whether you are or not. It's about the feeling and thought of that. And so certainly then they want somebody who has lighter skin, white skin, to feel like, oh no, I'm oppressing people, I'm such a terrible person. I mean, that's a huge part of it. But here's the problem. When you divide people along economic lines, Right? I can take someone, like if I'm in charge, I can take their money, right? I can strip them of all their assets. I can strip them of all their wealth. Could do that. And redistribute. But I can't change somebody's skin color, can I? Right? I can't do that. It doesn't work. So one of the huge problems with critical race theory is that I can't change the color of my skin. And so then that brings in this thought of wokeness. I don't know if you guys have heard that term. When I first heard it, I had no clue. I just thought it meant someone was a wimp. Honestly, I was like, you're woke? What does that mean? I mean, I don't know. But it means to be awake, right? It means to awaken, to acknowledge that I am privileged or underprivileged, right? I'm an oppressor or I'm oppressed based on the color of my skin. And so normally wokeness is applied to white people, that they have somehow awoken or come to this understanding and acknowledge that they are privileged because of the color of their skin. Now, the issue is that there's nothing you could ever do to make up for that. Right? There's nothing you can do. You are, critical race theory says that you are a racist because of the color of your skin. And they're really, I mean, you can acknowledge it, you can try to say you're sorry, you can do whatever you want, but there's nothing you can do to, and they actually use these terms, atone, and the sin. They claim that your skin color is a sin if you're white, that's a sin, that's wrong, but there's nothing you can do to atone for that. So they use very religious terms. Terms that we would be familiar with, certainly when we think about Christ and the blood of Christ and the atonement, but there's never any forgiveness. There's never forgiveness. There's never a complete reconciliation for what they claim is the problem. And then that brings us then to this thought of intersectionality. Intersectionality. So this is the application. You may have heard this term. This is the application of CRT, critical race theory, to all aspects of life. And you may be seeing this come into your life. Maybe you haven't yet, but it is trying to apply it to healthcare, to workplace, to entertainment, to sports, to religion, to politics, to everything. I mean, there is a huge attempt right now to apply this to absolutely everything. Certainly education is a huge one. And again, based on racial lines, based on the color of your skin, that's how this is being used. So I don't know we have Hulu, so we watch some TV and we get some ads. And for a while there was this ad on, and I think it was Whoopi Goldberg, or maybe it was, I don't know, someone like that, who was talking about healthcare and how the color of your skin determines the quality of healthcare that you get, right? That's what this person was claiming, right? That comes straight out of the playbook for critical race theory. And so your education and what's available education-wise, what's available work-wise, and then trying to implement within the workplace, telling people, hey, you're racist and you need to do this, this, and this, and this, and this to atone for that, right? That is, some of you probably know better than I do, how this is being played out, certainly in your workplace, certainly in religion, politics, I mean, all of it. That is the attempt. So the goal, because there's got to be an end. I mean, what's the point? Why are we going through all this mess? So the goal, I believe, and this is just my thoughts, is the goal is that through division, destroy freedom and establish satanic control of all aspects of society. That is the end result and end goal. Divide and conquer. It is. And that was the original intent that Marx had in this oppressor, oppressed, you know, dichotomy that he was trying to claim is truth. It's a lie, but he was trying to claim was to divide and conquer. And we see where all that was implemented. It didn't work, but it did destroy. Right? It did destroy freedom, and it enslaved people. I mean, you think of socialism, People were just enslaved. I mean, you think of the Soviet Union, you think of all the places this has been implemented. People lost their freedoms. They lost everything, a lot of them, and were pretty much enslaved. So that's the goal, right, of all this, is to divide. So we'll talk more next week, and we'll bring up, and I know we didn't go to our Bibles and look at anything in the Bible, but we will next week. Just talking about, and I want you to think about this week, because this really kind of is a thought. What is a race, right? How is that defined? Does the Bible even talk about that? And we'll deal with this next week and define certainly what is that? Is there such a thing? Because that certainly is the heart of this whole critical race theory thing, is you have to define exactly what is it? What is a race? So, anybody else have any other thoughts? I know I did most of the talking. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just thinking, you're talking about redistribution of wealth and stuff, so tied into this whole thing with critical race theory and stuff. You know, there's been talk about reparations, mm-hmm. payments, you know, like, or even, you know, we have to redistribute the wealth to the oppressed, you know, oppressors, you know, white people, whatever, have to pay money.
Right. Yeah.
And they're talking about that now. And even maybe, you mentioned wages, you know, maybe if, you know, a person of color, maybe you should get more per hour just based on your color of your skin, because you are oppressed and, you know, you've been oppressed for so many years. And, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to come around to all parts of the country at some point.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ike.
Sorry. Control, too.
It's about control. It really is about control.
Our economy, right? Then we're all relying on the government.
It's about control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, the reason I'm bringing this up is because there's a lot of churches that have bought into this and are teaching this as truth. A lot. Like, churches you'd be really, like, you would think as evangelical or, you know, doctrinally sound, that have embraced this as truth. And so I just want you to understand and I think a lot of it is just they don't understand what's going on and where this is coming from.
I think they use the good heart of Christians to make them think that they've done something bad.
Right.
Know, or their ancestors did something bad and we should be paying for it now.
Yeah.
And I think they're just dull.
Some of that.
I don't know if it was Coca-Cola or one of those corporations that were teaching their employees about this and that. Uh-huh. They're telling them, you said you can't change the color of your skin, but they actually told them to be less white.
Right, to be less white. But right, but when you start digging into it, they're like, okay, you technically a white person can never have black friends. They're trying to divide. I mean, because there's no like, well, let's all get together and be happy. No. It's you don't understand. You could never understand. And yeah. And like you said, there's.
Yeah. If you're a person of color, you can't be racist too. So that only say.
Right. And the whole.
You're all back to being racist if you're.
Yeah,
white.
The term they're using in the wrong sense.
Yeah.
And the solution is racism, right?
Yeah.
The solution is racism, is more racism. It just, yeah. I mean, to the whole thing is racist. The whole idea is racist.
But,
right.
We all should be racist.
Yeah.
Using the guise of look at what racism has done and so bad.
Right.
Yeah. Racist.
Right. And again, so that's why I started the first 2 weeks off talking about what we talked about, because I want us to understand this whole thing has been. I mean, I believe it's of Satan. But the point is to try to divide people and divide and conquer and destroy. So if we understand where that is, then hopefully we cannot fall prey to that.
Well, and part of the problem is they're not teaching history correctly.
Yeah, control.
And teaching it where they can.
Yep. Yeah, well, and it's the old, you know, it's the Marxist playbook. It really is. But, yeah. Ike, did you have something?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just guessing. I look forward to hearing more about race. But I'm guessing the Bible is full of race, right? I mean, am I, and you don't have to give me the answer. that's a whole other thing. If I think I know what race is, maybe I'm confused with culture, countries, nations.
So, let me just say this. Really, race and racism in modern day, anyways, is really an outspringing of the acceptance of evolution. Because evolution originally, they don't teach this anymore. And if you realize evolution has changed, the teaching of evolution has changed over the years because they've had to modify it because different things have been proven. Well, that can't happen, that can't happen, and that can't happen. So they've had to change it. One of the things that was originally part of that was that each of the races evolved separately. So the Africans evolved separately. The Chinese, you know, the Oriental evolved separately. The Europeans evolved separately. That's why Hitler, right? Because that's what he believed. Or used anyways, I don't know if he really believed it, but that's what he used, was to claim survival of the fittest, the white is more evolved than all the other races. And so it's superior in that, right? And so our modern day thoughts of racism really do go back to evolution and that thought. Even though they don't teach that anymore, because it's been proven that genetically we all go back to one woman, Eve. I mean, they've proven that. That's science. I mean, that's real science. I mean, that's right. Genetics. They've been able to prove that. It doesn't matter where you're at in the world, we all go back to one person. And so then that kind of threw that whole thing out the window. So the thought of race, modern day thought, really does go back to, I mean, to the original teaching of how evolution was originally taught. And you'll still find people that still think that. I mean, when I was a teenager, the people I worked with, they were big evolutionists, and that's what they believed. I was like, seriously? I mean, that doesn't work, but,
you know,
yeah.
What makes me think about this sometimes is the way Heidi has said to me, why are people different when all of our blood is red?
Yep.
And just that thought, there's actually a lot to think about within that little statement. What's under our skin?
Is there really that much difference?
Is there really difference?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you see a young child say, why is a black man's hands white on one side?
Mm-hmm.
And so you start thinking deeper than just what's on the outside.
Right. And so that's the issue, is we are being told, don't think past the color of your skin. That is, which originally we were told, no, we don't want that. We want to get past this. We want everybody to, Martin Luther King Jr., right? He said, right, we want everybody to be considered on the content of their character rather than the color of their skin, right? But that didn't work out so well that's not where things are going. They want to actually divide and use racism as the excuse for division. Yeah.
And then as you learn more about critical race theory, and we end up communicating with people during the day of other races, it actually makes you start thinking about, how do I treat this person in front of me? And yeah. I've had to deal business with some black people before. And I've simply just been myself kind, and they're kind back. But it makes you wonder, are they looking at me in a way that they shouldn't? You know, even though I'm kind, do they see me that way? Even though I am kind, you know?
Right.
It's questioning me how we live now.
Okay. Right, and that is legitimate. It really is.
It is legitimate, yeah. Because someday you could have You can be kind, you have anger come back to you for no reason at all, except what they're being taught, that we are bad.
Right. Yeah.
They are being hurt.
Yeah.
I think in the end, Christianity, for the glory of God, and truth and kindness and love can rise above it all.
Right. And that's why last week I really wanted to emphasize, what is it that unites us?
Yeah.
It's Jesus Christ and our faith in Jesus Christ and who he is. That is what it doesn't matter anything else. It doesn't matter your economic status. I mean, Paul stressed that so much, right? It doesn't matter whether you're a slave or you're the master, right? Whether you're the oppressed or the oppressor, it doesn't matter. You are united in Jesus Christ. So, yeah.
And when people see that, they actually search for it. And they do let go of the hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's no hope in this. There's no hope. But in Christ there is a lot of hope. So.
I didn't get a little snippet that you said. Can you go back to where you said socialism is the political...
I put it, socialism is the political extension of Marxism.
Okay, thank you.
And I understand that really, I mean, it's more than that really, but it all goes together. I mean, democracy and capitalism, I think, definitely go together. I don't think you can really separate the two very well. I mean, I don't think one will work without the other. But I'm not an economics, or economist. But.
I'm really glad you're bringing this to us, because so many churches just have no backbone anymore. And
we
can't defend our Christianity unless we know what we're up against.
Right. Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff out there that I don't address, because there's just, I mean, the world's full of junk. But when it starts invading churches, then I think it's important that we do know what's going on. So, yeah. All right, let's go to our time of